Hello, and welcome back to 10 out of 10 Mood Watch again with Lauren and Russ.
Hello.
The final episode of 2024.
Thank fuck.
Once again, we gave Instagram the choice between Muppets Christmas Carol and Love Actually, and the majority won for our finale episode. But, before we continue with Love Actually, we feel that since we have this platform, that we should do a public service announcement. Do not watch Netflix's Carry On starring Taron Egerton. Egerton?
Who cares?
Right. And Jason Bateman. Fuck me. Like, if you don't want any spoilers, skip ahead a wee cheeky 5-10 minutes. Oh my God. Right, spoiler zone now. Ross, take it away.
Right, so we're going to be starting a new segment, hopefully called 1 out of 10. We'll probably watch again. Right, where we're going to go through bad movies we might have watched in that week.
Yep.
And slate them before we get to movies we actually like.
Yep, hands down.
But this movie is just fucking shit.
It's piping. It's basically advertised as like Die Hard in an airport, right? But like, it's what, like an hour 45? It felt like a 3-hour movie.
No, it's over 2 hours long.
Is it over 2 hours? So fucking slow. Do you know that way, like, every time they tried to ramp up the tension, no tension was ramped. It was just fucking annoying.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
You did not root for these people.
Nah, fuck the lot of them. Like, and they kept trying to add in storylines. Like, honestly, the film would have been fine if it was an hour and a half long and it was just Taron Egerton trying to stop Jason Bateman, right? Like, that would have been perfect. That would have been fine. Hour and a half, biff, baff, boff, good to go. But they started adding in a pregnant girlfriend, a co-worker who couldn't possibly be made unemployed because he's got twins.
Yeah.
Another co-worker who, instead of doing his job at the TSA, is punting his fucking SoundCloud EP. Then you've got your man, Faye, Sons of Anarchy, as like the weird, creepy sniper guy with like a pedo tash.
Yeah, strip it hell.
Strip it, terrible, terrible. And it's just, do you know that way? Like, and then you've got the FBI. Is she FBI or the police?
No, she's just the police.
She's just a police.
Who likes to text and drive. Apparently that's a thing.
Right, and then there's a lot of that like super zoom in action shit. Oh,
yeah, weird CGI
God.
During the fight scenes.
Really
it's
bad.
Fucking bizarre.
Really, really bad. And then like genuinely about halfway through the movie, Ross turned around and was like, right, see the end of this movie. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And this is going to happen. Literally got to the end of the movie.
Yep.
And in sequence of what Ross said, it all fucking happened. You were raging about this last night. Raging.
All right, so basically, this guy works for the TSA at LAX Airport.
Uh-huh.
Apparently a big promotion is get to work a scanner.
Aye, from scanning people's bodies to sitting in a wee desk and scanning their fucking suitcases.
And for some bizarre reason, he gets an earpiece of Jason Bateman, who says he's not a terrorist. He just kind of does the terrorist work, but he's not a terrorist. Cool, do what you want. Your movie, fuck off. But is that if you don't put like this Novichok gas through, then we're going to kill your missus, even though she's in the airport with them.
Aye.
And there's no real way they can get to her.
Yeah.
But he shits himself. Yeah. Rather than just be like, by the way, this is happening, you go to get a secure bit. No, none of that.
And like, in this day and age, obviously the film's set in the here and the now, right?
No, so, even better.
No, aye.
It's set at Christmas Eve.
Because
they had to make this a Christmas movie.
This movie crowbarred Christmas in. This did not need to be a Christmas movie.
Like, every time, like, oh, you're going to shut this terminal? It's Christmas Eve. And is it? We fucking know. You've said it 100 times.
You fucking tell us. So this movie's set in the here and the now. So obviously, everyone who's ever been in an airport knows that since 2001, security has been up everybody's arse.
Yep.
You cannot peacefully get through an airport without there being at least a fucking million security guards. Like, it's ridiculous. There are so many staff at a fucking airport and all this shit's going on. Nobody thought to just turn round to like any of the other fucking security guards and be like, by the way, the one police he does try and get to, he makes it so fucking obvious that he's trying to slip him a message, and then the guy dies, and then they all just carry on their job.
Yeah,
do you
just
know what I mean?
Continue as usual.
And then they're like, oh, you've been heavy weird today. And I'm like, I'd be heavy weird today if I watched a co-worker drop to their death.
You would just say to them, look, I'm away.
I just feel like in an airport as big as LAX, with security up the wazoo the way it is, there's no fucking way they couldn't have signaled help faster.
Oh,
the
bullshit.
Movie was so shit. And we were pure rooting for it, man. We watched the trailer and we were like, excellent.
That's gonna be good,
on a plane. Fucking heel toe, here we go.
Yeah, garbage. Fucking
so
shit.
Shite. We were in such a bad mood last night because about halfway through the film, I was like, we should just watch Die Hard, like, and make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
Nah, by the end of that movie, me and Ross just sat silently on our phones. You were
ranting. I was
for
raging.
20 minutes.
Fucking raging at it.
And then we just sat on our phones in silence. It pure killed the mood, man. Absolutely
yeah,
killed the mood.
The most bizarre fucking film ever. And the ending is what really got me. So
let the people know.
They have to put in that, oh, you applied to be a police officer and you failed. So he's like, oh, I'll never date again.
Yeah, the whole point of his character is just that he's coasting. Like,
yeah.
He's doing TSA and he's just coasting through life. And I'm like, I think the TSA get paid pretty well, but okay, never mind. Anyway,
yeah, regardless of that, like, just let the cunt do what he's doing.
Do you know what I mean? He's chilling. He's vibing. He's bird. He's pregnant bird, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're just chilling, having a nice life, but they're pure lat to him. Well, you're not doing enough with your life. Well, if it was there for him, you wouldn't have the fucking TSA on the go.
Aye.
Anyway, sorry, Ross, I interrupted.
But, spoiler, at the end, he saves the day, because obviously he saves the day.
Funnily enough.
Then, that's what fucking annoyed me. So, you get the end bit where they're going on holiday.
Yep, they've been talking about the holiday the whole movie. Yep.
Then, when they end up in the airport, obviously.
He's got the baby.
Yeah, the baby. They're all happy. And he throws his badge into the wee bucket they made. Why is he carrying his badge with him?
You don't need your police badge in fucking Tahiti.
Yeah, you're going to Tahiti. What's
for
your
a nice relaxing holiday.
What LA police badge going to do there? Like, it's fucking... Oh, it's infuriating. Just don't watch a movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking shit.
Don't do it, guys. We've just told you what happens. We've saved you 2 hours of your life. Don't fucking do it.
And
if you do watch it on your own fucking head,
be it. Fucking shite. Utter shite.
Right. Fucking Nicky us, man.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
Oh. Anyway, right, back to the actual point. Listen, you can't say in true 10 out of 10 we'd watch again style that we don't start with a tangent, do you know what I mean?
No, it's fucking garbage, man.
And the rest of this episode's going to be tangent straight. You know how it is. You know how it goes. Anyway. For the last time of 2024, Ross, hit me with your pish.
Yeah, so as I said, Doing Love Actually, released in November 2003, directed by Richard Curtis. Now, go for a cup of tea or something, because it's starring Hugh Grant,
yep.
Liam Neeson,
mm-hmm.
Colin Firth, Laura Linney, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Keira Knightley, Martin McCutcheon, Bill Nighy, Rowan Atkinson, Martin Freeman, Andrew Lincoln, Billy Bob Thornton, and a shout out to Rab C himself,
yes,
Gregor Fisher.
Yes, the bull boy.
The budget of $40 million and a box office of $250 million.
Because it's fucking class.
Yeah.
General overview of the movie. It's an anthology movie of interrelated stories about every different type of love story. And it's fucking great. Why do you love this movie, Ross?
It should be more, why do you like it?
Because
this is your movie.
I love it. I love this movie. It just makes me feel all toasty inside, you know? Like, everything about this movie is class. Like, I love how awkwardly British it is. Like, in that Hugh Grant bumbling sense of the word.
See, I've thought awkwardly British, but it's not. It's awkwardly English.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Like, an English middle-class movie.
You're so right. Nope, uh-huh.
I was thinking as well, I was like, this wouldn't happen in Scotland. This wouldn't happen in Glasgow.
I was like, oh my God, I would love to see it.
Yeah.
We should do that at the end, the Scottish version of it, actually.
I'm fucking Ned. Oh, Chantel, I pure love you, man.
But it's like a Ned feel like the rival scheme. I'm in. I just think it's so funny. Like, the music's gorgeous in it. Like, everyone in it is class.
Oh, aye, everybody's good. Well, 95% of the people are good.
I think we're going to say the same person.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
In the nicest way possible. Actually, no, fuck it. Not in the nicest way possible. It does make me want to punch Alan Rickman in the face. Do you know what I mean? But we'll get into Alan Rickman in about 10 minutes.
I was talking about somebody else for the performance, but hey-ho.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Right, okay. Do you love this movie? Why do you love this movie?
I do like this movie. It's not my favourite Christmas one, but I would go and say it's probably the best British Christmas movie.
Yes.
And I say that because I don't really know any other British ones.
Does Wallace and Gromit count?
No, that's just, I think that's just something we watch at Christmas.
Right, okay.
Oh, no, if Wallace and Gromit counts, then Wallace and Gromit's the best Christmas movie. But
yeah, fair, fair. Yeah.
No, there will be more, but there's none that's made it to this level anyway. I mean, this is loved all over the world.
Yeah, man, because this movie's fucking class. We'll dive straight into thoughts and opinions. Like, for me, this movie is like a Christmas staple. I always like to watch it the week before Christmas.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're 2 weeks before Christmas now, so... Oh, no, we're not.
No, we're a week.
Oh my God, we are. Oh my God. Fuck, right, cool, no bother. Oh well, Merry Christmas.
Buying stuff.
Shut up. I better sort your Christmas present out. Like, we'll take about 5 minutes just to be like, what a stacked fucking cast.
Yeah.
Like, again, like you said, shout out to our Rab C, Big Gregor Fisher, like...
Representing the Scots.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. But like, this is like the crop of British... / English actors, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you've got the old school, the up-and-comers, half of these fucking actors are in Harry Potter, do you know what I mean? Like, it's also funny watching it, because obviously this was 2003, and it's funny watching it where half these actors ended up. So, like, obviously, Andrew Lincoln, before he was in, like, Teachers, and he was in that Afterlife TV show, do you remember that?
That was class, that was brilliant.
So good. And then, obviously... got The Walking Dead and became fucking huge, like, because of The Walking Dead. It's obviously pre-Pirates of the Caribbean for Keira Knightley. Liam Neeson is always a huge deal, but this is obviously before Taken, when he went on his big action spiel kind of thing.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman before The Hobbit, even though he was kind of always like a wee British staple. It's even Joanna Page before Gavin and Stacey, do you know what I mean? Like, the list does pure go on, like, of... who ended up breaking out, and most of them, do you know
I think
I mean?
The majority of them have, obviously you said a lot of them have had great careers, but say all the breakout stars were, they've went on to do amazing things, especially totally. Like, especially in America.
Totally,
and
totally.
That is Jotel Edgefor. I mean, 12 Years a Slave Oscar nomination.
Yeah, man.
I mean, he's been fucking, like, critically praised all, like, up the wazoo juicy
so
for
class.
Everton.
Aye. So class. And then he's just like in this for like 10 minutes, do you know?
Yeah, it's funny to see. Because I wonder if you were to do it now, like, they would be, they're the stars.
Yeah, they are.
And, like, 20-year time, they've absolutely just smashed
100%.
It.
100%. They're, like, your Emma Thompsons, Alan Rickmans, Rowan Atkinson, that kind of, like, the old crop, yeah. And then you'd have the younger ones.
And it's not as if, like, Emma Thompson have just disappeared. It's just...
Nah, they're still fucking booked. Pour one out for Alan Rickman, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
But I will take his fucking name in vain later on, because I've got fucking thoughts and opinions about this prick. Also, like, just talking about the cast, remember Martin McCutcheon? Like, what a woman. Like, she had Everton going on in the early 2000s. She was, like, in movies and soap operas. She was a fucking TV presenter. She was a TV presenter. She, remember that song that, on the radio, that was fucking beautiful, thank you. And, like, then she just kind of stoted off, came back and did, like, Garnier adverts and all that.
Yeah.
Like, apparently she's, I was looking it up, right, because I was like, where is Martin McCutcheon?
Oh, donkeys.
Apparently she's doing musicals in London and all that. She won, like, a Tony in 2002 and all that.
Aye.
I was like, good for you. But, like, well, the internet said that. I was like, fucking, all right, calm down.
That's a bit weird.
Isn't it? But, like, yeah, she's just cutting about, do you know what I mean? She's quite happy. Like, she does her wee musicals down in London and then toddles off again. I was like, God, she was everywhere for, like, a good solid couple of years. I'm sure she was in a soap as well, but I can't remember if it was, like, Eastie's or what.
I'm sure it was EastEnders she was in.
Aye. What a flashback, but Big McCutcheon.
Aye, blast for the past. Aye, so, see, you say that strong performances, but the biggest takeaway for this movie is the, like, the memorable scenes.
Yes, and, like, there are so fucking many.
Like, this movie has been ripped off so many times.
Yep.
And I know they came back for, like, the Red Nose Day thing and that, didn't they?
It was like a wee 3 minute trailer kind of thing of, like, where are they now kind of thing.
But even, like, the Andrew Lincoln with the cards and all that stuff, is like, it's just genius. Like,
yeah, totally. Like, and, like, so simple, do you know what I mean? Like, this movie isn't a flash movie. It's not, like, it's not big grand budgets and all these huge thingies. It's, like, simple, bold declarations of love, you know?
Yeah, it's just people going about their lives.
Yeah. Like, I know, like, because obviously there is the huge, well, I mean, there's what did you say? There's like 9 different stories in it.
Yeah.
So, and there's like, obviously you've got your bigger ones, like your Alan Rickmans and your Hugh Grants. And then there's your wee ones like Martin Freeman and that. I love what Martin Freeman's wee one. It's just pure wholesome. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so since you brought that up, then we'll just dive into like some of the stories then, if you will.
I'll bounce off you.
Because we were talking about it and it's like, there's no real way you can kind of put this all together.
Yeah.
Because it would just be, I mean, we go on tangents, but this is a movie of tangents.
Aye.
Like everything, if you've not seen it, everything just cuts into like this bigger story.
Yeah,
and they all,
everyone's
like,
interlinked. Like yeah. Some people are related, some people work together, some people are pals, like that kind of vibe. Like,
so I do like that though, that although it's all interlinked, it's not too complicated. It's just a case of, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need any more. I think now we would over-explain it.
Absolutely.
And they would try and be smart about it, but
absolutely,
it's just that, oh, that's my pal. Is it so hard to know?
And you get, like, so much from the wee bits, do you know what I mean? Like, see when Emma Thompson's phoning Hugh Grant, and obviously that's her big brother.
Yeah.
But you can tell they don't really have a great relationship because, obviously, he's the Prime Minister now.
Yeah, not a lot of time. He's not got a lot of time for her. And
totally.
Not in a bad way, it's just that...
No, he's a busy dude. And then you've got Liam Neeson, who is pals with Emma Thompson because their kids go to the same school, and I think they work together as well.
I don't know.
Right, okay.
I don't know. See, it doesn't really go into... that much
that,
detail.
But, like, it, regardless, like, you the 2 scenes that they share together, you can just tell that they're just lovely pals. Like,
yeah.
they rip the piss out of each other, and they're, like, comforting each other in that kind of, like, borderline offensive banter that, like, only really close pals
can have.
Yeah, you
can only
get
away with
it with
somebody you've known for a while.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, when you abuse me, so it's all good.
Aye, it's a good slagging, isn't
it? Right, so we'll start off with Hugh Grant's love story, if you will.
Yep.
So he's the newly elected Prime Minister, and Martin McCutcheon is a member of his staff at 10 Downing Street, and he falls for her.
No.
So this one's kind of about him. So once you see him, he's very, not timid, but he seems very
nervous,
not confident.
Yeah. At the start. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the story is, it's kind of hard giving him the strength to be more, courageous.
Totally,
and
stands up to the American president, loosens up a bit.
Uh-huh.
And then, obviously he sacks her because he thinks she's went with the president. She hasn't. And then they meet up and they finally get together.
And is that kind of like a power dynamic because he is her boss.
Yep.
Although a lot of movies kind of make it weird, but this one is just, that is so innocent.
Totally, and that, do you know, as well, that is such a thing about this movie, apart from, even the Alan Rickman affair storyline is innocent, you don't see anything, do you know what I mean?
There's nothing ominous about any of the stories.
There's nothing filthy, there's nothing too blue, anything like that. It is just wholesome, innocent power, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, even looking, probably if you could, people are looking at it from a 2024 lens, they would find stuff, but he doesn't do anything to abuse his power.
Nope.
And, maybe driving, getting a guy to drive knocking door to door for the house, but that's fair enough.
I know Hugh Grant is a bit of a hit and miss with some people. Some people either really like him or really hate him. I've always kind of liked Hugh Grant. He's got that kind of smarminess about him. He's got a charm, do you know what I mean? There's a right charm about him that just kind of reels you in.
It's just like that English bumbling fool, isn't he? He plays that very well.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, 4 weddings and a funeral and all that. Yeah. And
he's
even
made his career off it.
Exactly. Even when he goes into period dramas, I can't remember that he's in one with Emma Thompson, but I can't remember if it's Sense and Sensibility or Emma, one of them. And he's in it and he's this kind of lord and he's still mur, 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 mur. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even in Bridget Jones, when he's supposed to be the bad guy, he's still a pure prick.
It's hard to root against him. But I'm not a big Hugh Grant fan, but the recent stuff he's done, he's just kind of in his fuck it phase.
Totally.
And movies like The Heretic, he was phenomenal in that.
We
went to really
see The Heretic last week, and he's so good in it. The movie's a bit... it's not a consistent film, but he's great in it. I would say, even if you didn't fancy it, watch it for him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And seeing him, he's a bit older now and that. Mm-hmm. He can really do that, sinister.
Totally.
Sinister side to him. Whereas before, I think, obviously young, good looking guys, It's a bit hard to pull off.
Yeah, totally, totally. I think in this, though, in like his wee storyline and this and stuff, see even like the parts where he's like dancing about and all this, like it's just so daft and puts a smile on your face. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, in this movie, they all kind of have their big bits.
Yep.
So you have like the dancing scene with him, mm-hmm. and it's the Christmas play
into school play.
Each story has its moment. So now we've fully analysed that one. Nothing else.
Fully analysed. They bother us.
Nothing else can be said about it. Like, anybody does, don't. So we'll jump out of Colin Firth then.
Oh.
So he's a writer, and he gets cheated on by his brother and his missus.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Absolute bitch. Right, sorry, carry on and then we'll get
And he falls in love with his cleaner, his Portuguese housekeeper slash cleaner. Aye, after discovering his brother and his missus going at it like rabbits, he fucks off to France to write his novel, resume writing his novel.
Yeah.
And he needs a housekeeper cleaner because apparently he does, because writers don't clean.
Allegedly so.
She can't speak a lick of English.
He can't speak a lick of Portuguese.
Yeah. So it's just about them falling in love, but they can't speak to each other.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. Like, I think their story is definitely one of my favourites. Like, also the start where he's like, love you, and she's like, I know you do.
Yeah.
To immediately go and pump his bra. No. And then he walks in after being at his pal's wedding and she's like, oh, I want you twice more before Jamie comes.
Yeah.
Bitch, I swear to God. See, even like at the end when he pops into his family's for Christmas, oh, you best believe I'm never speaking to any of them ever again. But like, see as well, see when he goes to France and he's like writing his wee novel and he's like talking to her. What I love about their story is like, they say the exact same sentence or like variations of the same sentence, like one after the other. And it's just like, oh, no, no. And then he tries to learn Portuguese. And when he's like proposing to her, gets all horribly wrong. And then she answers him in English. And it's just like, that would be nice and all this. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Like they're part of like the whole thing. I love is more like the gestures.
Yes.
And the little things you can do to like kind of, to be wanky about kind of transcends language.
Oh, look at you. You're a big romantic bastard.
Thank you. But no, I do like this one. It's just, I don't like Colin Firth.
What?
I don't like him.
What?
I don't think I've seen him in it that I like.
What?
Got a really smug, punchable face.
Fuck you. Fuck you right now.
How dare you? I just
the
don't like him.
The original Mr. Darcy?
Yeah, he's not the original.
Yes, he fucking is. He's the original to me.
He's the original to me, so he's going to be the original.
He was in the 90s fucking BBC 90s? Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, did Pride and Prejudice get written in the 90s?
Shut
aye?
The fuck up, Ross.
I didn't know that.
He is Mr. Darcy. I used to watch the BBC Pride and Prejudice all the fucking time with my nanny, and she used to hit out with the same patter, same useless information every time. No, Colin Firth is so, oh my God, no. I can't believe you have never told me. I feel like you've catfished me in this whole marriage. I cannot believe you can't stand Colin Firth.
I don't think I've
seen it. You liked him in Kingsman?
It's something different than Kingsman rather than like just playing.
Oh my God.
Being Colin Firth.
I can't even look at you right now. You actually disgust me.
Don't then, we'll cancel this.
This is the end of the only season of 10 out of 10. No, Colin Firth's the one. I bet you you're like the kid where it's like, I hate Uncle Jamie.
Fuck Uncle Jamie. I hope he doesn't come back.
You savage bastard. Colin Firth's the one.
Would you come back though?
If you had the opportunity to live in France with your bird or move back to England, you would rather stay in France with your bird?
Yeah, because I assume he's got a few quid.
Well, he's a writer, isn't he?
I mean, I don't know.
That's the thing, though, is this movie doesn't really give you a lot of backstory. It gives you enough backstory to give a fuck, but not enough
to know the characters, that's it. And
I mean, I'm assuming by his gaff he's got money, because that gaff looks lovely.
The fact of living in London, in general, should mean you've got money.
100%.
As you said, like, this movie, a lot of information, and some of it is a bit of, like, bit of disjointed, but it just works. So fuck it.
Yeah, man, 100%.
So, I know you'll like this one, because you've got a lot to say about it.
Okay.
So we're going to Alan Rickman. So, Alan Rickman, is he like the owner of the business they're in or something?
Know.
And he's his wife Emma Thompson, stay-at-home mum.
Yep.
And his fucking secretary.
I actually can't. So basically, Alan Rickman, give me the mic, Ross, right? Alan Rickman plays this as like a bumbling idiot, right? And at the start, so basically, like, his secretary starts flirting with him, and he's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like the little things, you know? Like, his wife and kids are at home, Emma Thompson, oh, and he's at the secretary, and he's like, help me plan the Christmas party. And she's like, oh, I found a place full of dark corners for dark deeds. And he's like, oh, right, I smashing. No, nip it in the bud, right? Then doesn't nip it in the bud. Then, what is it? She talks to him and she like opens her legs as she's talking to him. Still doesn't nip it in the bud. Then he's like, what do you want for Christmas? Stationery, whatever. And she goes, I don't want something I need. I want something I want. I want something pretty. So he goes and buys her a fucking gold necklace with a fucking ruby in it.
£270.
Mate, right? So it's clearly
I've never spent
ruby.
That on you.
I know.
Spent on my seconds right enough.
Fuck you. So then Emma Thompson, his loving, beautiful, gracious wife, is at home making the Wayne's Nativity costume, takes his jacket off, she feels a box. She's like, fucking opens it, sees the necklace, smashing. My husband of 13 years who only buys me a scarf has bought me a beautiful necklace, smashing, right? Christmas Eve comes, they all open the presents, and she opens it, and it's fucking a Joni Mitchell CD. A fucking Joni Mitchell CD, because she loves Joni Mitchell. And the next scene, it cuts to the secretary putting on the necklace,
yeah,
and the bed's unmade and she's in her underwear, and it's kind of alluding to the fact that they may have got physical, you know,
yeah,
right? Meanwhile, Emma Thompson is doing what is quite possibly the most beautiful 4 minutes of cinema, and I'm going to fucking stand by that.
Oh,
right?
No, she's a standout in this.
Mate, see that as a... I can't remember what the Joni Mitchell song is called, but it's that, I looked at love that way. Yeah. And she's got that like...
How'd it go?
No.
I looked at love that way. you made that sound quite cheery there.
Hey.
It's not fucking heart-wrenching, kicking your nuts scene.
It never used to be. And then she
but
does
the scene
that,
used to be happy.
No, shut up. I mean the song, dickhead. And she does that like repressed, and I'm not being funny. Every woman knows that repressed cry. Every woman has done it where you're like, I can't cry right now. I don't have time. Put your palms up to your eyes and we'll deal with this later, right? Oh, my God. And then she goes to the fucking... Oh, my God. And then she turns around to him. She goes, what would you do if you found a necklace? Is it just a necklace? Is it sex in a necklace? Or worse, is it love in a necklace? And all he does, this motherfucker, turns around and goes, I've been a complete fool.
Yeah.
Sorry? No. I swear to God, Ross, right? If I found... I'm not being funny. I literally said this to you earlier on when we were watching it. I was like, this movie has put me off looking through people's pockets, right? Because if I found a beautiful necklace in your pocket and then opened up a Joni Mitchell CD, the way that Joni Mitchell CD would be getting rattled off your head.
Oh, like, I have a date. Like, no, fuck it.
Unless that necklace is for your sister, I don't want to fucking know. I stand by the take that this is Alan Rickman's most villainous role. Like, fuck you, Alan Rickman. I actually have nae time for him. And it's just the... Do you know that way? It's like you make excuses for him the whole... I don't know if anybody else does this, but I do. You make excuses for him the whole way. You're like, oh, he's just being polite. Oh, he's just being like, ugh. Oh, he's just doing that. No, you're fucking cheating on your wife. And yes, the physical part may be being alluded to. You don't actually know at any point if they've been physical or not. The fact that you've went and spent £270 on a woman that is not your wife is fucking cheating.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Fuck you.
I mean, she's practically got his horns all over him.
Mate, actual horrendous.
She's practically got her horns like wrapped all around him. And
at the Christmas party dance, when they're dancing, also, I'm not being funny, why have you showed up to the Christmas party dance and fucking... like horns.
Yeah.
Like, it's no Halloween, mate. Why? Yeah. Like, dresses as sexy Mrs. Claus, not a fucking devil. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and what makes it more frustrating is
they're with each other the whole night. Sorry.
And the fact that, like, he doesn't, no attempt to not stop it.
Absolutely not. He doesn't turn around. Like, now, one, he's her boss. Two, you're married with kids, yeah. Right? And at no point does he turn around and go, this is incredibly unprofessional.
Yeah.
My secretary, get yourself to fuck. Do you know what I mean? 100%.
Merry Christmas, you're sacked. Fuck off.
100%. He, like, keeps it going, and it's just like, ugh. And it is that thing of, because it's not physical, is it cheating? Yeah.
Yes, like, it's cheating.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I have no fucking time for Alan Rickman in this movie. I have absolutely not one.
It's bang at the order.
Emma Thompson, oh my God, she rips my heart out every time. Every time I hear that Joni Mitchell song now, I'm like, oh, fucking Emma Thompson. Like, no. The fact that that woman, one, kept it together while fucking greeting to Joni Mitchell, yeah. Then came out for a kid's show, then so calmly was like, what would you do? Would you stay knowing that your life was going to be a little bit worse, or would you cut and run?
Yeah. Basically says that you've taken the piss out of me.
Yeah, you've made me look stupid. Me, and you've made the life I lead look foolish. Oh, just let me quote this movie, right? And then at the end, he comes back from wherever the fuck he's been, right? And he goes up to her, and the kids are like, oh, I hope you brought presents. And they give each other the most stilted, like, kiss. Yeah. And then it's like, let's go home. And you can, this is how you know you are dealing with fucking class A-grade bombshell actors, because it's what they don't say. Like, both of
it's
their
just
faces.
A look. It's just a look. Oh. Like, they give each other. Like, Alan Rickman's, it's like a groveling, sorry, like, look. And
she's bitter.
Yeah, like, she just looks checked out and just, like, I think at times she just says it, like, the kids.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I'm here for the kids.
Yep, hands down. And loads of people do it.
Oh, of course. Like, I'm not fucking denying that's what happens, but, like, to see the two there, as I say, Emma Thompson absolutely steals this movie.
100%. 100%.
I mean, as she should. She's fucking phenomenal.
She's Emma fucking Thompson. Yeah. And there was an interview, I actually had this in useless information, but I'll bring it up now. There was an interview with her of, like, how did you get into the role? And she was like, well, I actually took from the time that my husband was unfaithful. And I was like, excuse me? So I dug a little bit deeper. Turns out, she was married to Kenneth Branagh, who I've always said was a prick. And he cheated on her with Helena Bonham Carter, and obviously devastation, blah, blah, blah. And then all three of them ended up in Harry Potter, obviously not at the fucking same time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, kill each other.
Mate. But I was pure like, Emma Thompson, do you know what I mean? Oh, no, Emma Thompson, saviour of the movie, Alan Rickman, fuck you, do you know what I mean?
So the love part of this one is infidelity.
Yeah, yeah, the love is... How do you keep the love after infidelity?
Yeah, how do you deal with that?
And we will never know in this film, you know?
Like, no. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about it being like, what happened to them. I've never really read if he's ever explained it.
There's been like bits and bobs through interviews, do you know what I mean? But like, he's like, there's cries for there to be like a Love Actually 2 or a Love Actually 4.
Can't happen anymore.
They never did it. They did it as like a Red Nose Day thing, but that wasn't really like a sequel or a Where Are They Now.
It was just a daft wee thing for charity.
Yeah, it was a daft wee thing that hit the beats of the first one, you know? But he's like, nah, like, yous are getting what you're getting, and obviously it's kind of up to the fans of the movie to speculate kind of thing.
It's just gotten. Because that story, well, it's not my favourite one in it. It's the most, like, heavy.
Hard-hitting one.
And it's just a shame that we don't have Alan Rickman anymore. They can't even...
I know.
Even if they wanted to. I mean, 20 years, but it's too late to do it now. Well, it is now because of death, but it's a shame.
I'm not being funny. For the new Bridget Jones movie, they've just killed off Colin Firth, you know? So they could do it if they wanted to.
Nah. Okay. I would like to have seen they two.
Yeah.
Like, if they either get back now, but if it was like... How they would have dealt with if they did split up, if they'd be a, because he was just a horrible shit in it anyway.
Yeah. Do you know the thing that's annoying about Alan Rickman? I wouldn't say he is a horrible shit because he cheats. But what I mean is that, like, he's not like vindictive or anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is just a big bumbling idiot. But it's how being a bumbling idiot takes you to these places.
Gets you into
do you know what I mean?
Him out of the bother it does.
Exactly. Like, instead of turning around and being like, no. he's like, oh, remember, oh, yeah, whatever you want. Do you know what I mean? And she says to him, like, after the Christmas party, she's like, be careful with Mia. And he's like, oh, calm down. Now look at where we are, mate. Yeah. Now look at where we are. But no, Emma Thompson, 4 out of 10. That repressed cry with the palms to the eyes. Oh, gets me every time.
Nice quality. Right, we'll move on for the Alan Rickman hit. Aye, sorry, rest in peace, buddy.
Poor man.
So, Liam Neeson's. His is really good. I really like his section of
me
this.
Me too.
So he's a recent widower, because at the beginning you see him burying his wife.
To Bay City Rollers.
Yes, and he's also, he needs to be a father to his stepson.
Yep.
And so it's about him trying to navigate through his own grief, and him also finding out that his stepson's got a crush on a girl.
Yep, and how he helps his son get her and stuff.
How to cope with young love, somebody's first love. And it's really nice.
And
this kind of sets up, they're not in it a lot until the end.
Yep.
But you get wee snippets, but they basically let that kid have the ending.
Absolutely. And their wee bit is so lovely. See just their banter with each other. And he's because obviously at the funeral, it's like, oh, she asked me to bring Claudia Schiffer as my date, but I couldn't. So it would need to be Bay City Rollers, for you. And he's there's the part where Sam's learning the drums and all this kind of thing. And he's like, oh, how's your love life? Liam Neeson's like, ah, well, Claudia Schiffer's not at the door, but I'll be patting you out, you motherless mongrel. Yeah. We'll be having sex in every room in the house. And I was just pissing myself. I love it. And he's so good with Sam. He's shows him all the rom-coms, tries to help him out, doesn't say no to his daft ideas. When he's oh, girls love musicians, I'm gonna learn how to play the drums, and he's like, all right, cool. He's just a big supportive dad, and their bit is my favorite storyline. I love it so much.
It's just about he states at the start when he's talking to Emma Thompson's character, being like, I can't do this. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Then once he finds out that he's in love and that,
common ground.
Yeah, and he's I can do this. So he's 100% behind him. Fuck, he lets him run about the airport.
Yes.
Like mad. That's probably the biggest set piece of the movie.
Totally.
And say that wee kid, he gets it. Which is a big deal, because everybody you've got in this, and
man,
you get your 15 minutes of just you, because Liam Neeson's the supporting character in their story.
Definitely, definitely. That wee, his name's Thomas Brody Sangster, and before this, he was always in, BBC Kid stuff. He was always on, CBBC things, and he did this, I can't actually remember what it was called, but I remember we did the book in primary school, and he did, the movie of it, and it's called, Feather Boy or something like that.
All right, okay.
And he was in loads of stuff like that, and then obviously he was in this, and then he's obviously gone on to be in the Maze Runner franchise. He was in Game of Thrones for a bit. He's been
done really
loads,
well.
But he's the same age as us, and has just always had that baby face.
He's still got it.
He still looks about 12. Do you know what I mean? No, I love them, and I love how supportive Liam Neeson is of him, and it's no idea is too big. And see, even when Sam's upset and he's like, we need Leo and we need Kate now, and oh, I love it.
Yeah,
love it. 40 out of 10.
So I'll jump into this one's sad. This one is sad. It's Laura Linney's she has a crush on the guys in her office,
Big Carl,
which is Alan Rickman's office.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they're connected, as she works there and gets her story in.
Yeah.
With Carl, but she's also dealing with a mentally ill brother. I don't know what it is.
Never
it doesn't mention
you.
It, does
He's
it?
He's just in a facility kind of thing.
But it kind of, she has to be there at all times, or she feels she does anyway.
Yeah, to be on the phone.
Yeah, because the point is that her phone goes fucking all the time.
Yeah.
And she always has to be available to answer.
Yeah.
And speak to him and that, talk him. Whatever's happening.
And they get their moment. Do you know the way when he goes up to her? When Carl goes up to her. Carl played, who goes on to play Xerxes in 300 in 7 years' time. When he comes up to her as the dance, he's like, oh, we're running out of chances. So as much as he's not came out and been I'm into you too, it's does.
Yeah, the connections are for both of them. Yeah.
And then even, do you know my favourite part of that whole thing is see when he kisses her, she's obviously too nervous to go in for the kiss. He does. And then he's like, I don't have to go. And she's like, excellent, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Yeah. And then runs around the corner, does that dance. Like, yeah. dance. And then she's like, come upstairs in 10 minutes. Finally gets her chance. And then the fucking phone starts ringing. Do you know what I mean? And then even at the end, like, when they're both working Christmas Eve and he comes up to her and he's like, Merry Christmas. And she's like, Happy Christmas. Then has a wee cry. And then her phone goes and she's like, hi. And it's like, yeah. Oh, Laura Linney. Oh.
Yeah, it's just she's basically sacrificed her whole life for her brother. Totally. Which is fair enough. Like, yeah, I'm not
loads
saying that's wrong.
Loads of people do it.
This one bothers me the most.
Okay.
But it's not because of like anything in the movie. It's just that a conversation could have been had between those two.
Hands down.
And it could have been explained to him. Be like, look, this is like what's wrong with my brother.
Yeah.
Like, he needs constant help. But if you can deal with that, then me and you can be together.
Yeah.
That and she also, I mean, I'm saying this as if it's a whole long-winded thing, but she would probably need to separate herself more from her brother.
Yeah.
Like, she can't be there all the time and like live a life. Like, even not even live her life, just a semblance of a life.
Yeah, totally. I think a lot of things in this movie could be dealt with a conversation, but this one especially, like, obviously after she's got him in the bedroom and then she answers the phone to her brother and she's like, oh, he's not well and la la la, and it's like, he's already there, like, he's in your house.
Yeah.
He has shown interest.
Yes,
like,
yes.
And this is your dream man, you've been in love with him for years, like, he's there, take the chance, tell him what's going on and be like, listen, I pure like you, but if this is a bit heavy,
yeah,
fair enough. But then again, also, I suppose that's not really it's not even a first date, it's a one night stand conversation, do you know what I mean? Obviously she wants it to be more than that, but it's not really, I don't really know when to have that conversation, but it is a conversation that needs to be had.
You would think if it's just going to be a physical thing between them, then
turn your phone off for like an hour, mate, do you know what I mean?
You don't need it.
Yeah.
But if you do want it to like blossom into something else, like an actual relationship, then she's going to have to, because it's just kind of like after the scene where like she has to go, then it's the next day and she goes visits her brother and he's just like, he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't know what she's given up in that, and he won't, I mean, it's fair enough, he's not well, but it's just like, it's a right kick in your teeth.
Into it. Yeah. No, 100%. No, justice for Laura Linney.
Nah, she deserved better. I mean, it's not, let's say, not a brother's fault, but she's kind of put herself into this situation where she has to be the one to deal with it all. And like, it must be tough for people out there that has to do it.
Oh,
like,
100%.
Like, fair dues if you can do it. Like, you're a better person than I am.
Absolutely.
Right, so we'll jump into Andrew Lincoln, Keira Knightley, and Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Say his name again, Ross.
Chiwetel. I looked on Wikipedia. I apologize how you say it.
Okay, class.
The Chiwetel Ejiofor. I'm sorry. Like, I mumbled that.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, their one. So basically, start of the movie, Keira Knightley and Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Better than me.
They get married. Andrew Lincoln's his best pal. And then it slowly comes out that Andrew Lincoln has been in love with Keira Knightley, and that's why he's mean to her. And yeah.
It's such a childish.
And then, yeah, instead of like, he goes away in a wee huff when she finds out, and then this is the other huge quoted set piece from the movie where he stands at her door and he's like, say it's Carol Singers, and then he does that Bob Dylan music video of like, he's written the lines on cards and it's like, my wasted heart will love you until you look like this, and every time I'm like, oh, and then she gives him a kiss and then he's like, enough now, do you know what I mean? Like, beautiful, but also really fucking weird. Like, now it's the music that makes it. See the scene where she shows up and she finds the wedding video and she's like, I look quite pretty. It's the music that makes that, right? Because think about it, right? If there was no music, she's just sitting there silent while she watches our man's best pal have a video of just her face on her wedding day.
Like,
that's fucking weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's really, really fucking weird.
Yeah, this one doesn't work for me.
Mm.
I get the card scene and that, but he's just a dick.
Yeah.
And, like, the scene you're talking about where, like, because she asked for the video because their videographer fucked up their video.
Yeah, everything's blue and warped.
I find pretty weird that a videographer that would happen.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, ah, right, money back.
Aye. Refund, please.
But then once you see that, is it, you would need to tell his pal.
Yeah.
Like, because there's being in love with somebody's pal, like your pal's missus and that, uh-huh. Well, say love, it's infatuation at this stage.
Yeah.
And then you see that, he'd be like, no, there's something, you need to have a word with him.
And
that's
then
right.
The fact that she like runs and gives him a kiss and then they're like, right, that's enough now. Like, if you were doing that with my best pal, I would go mental. Do you know what I mean? Like,
don't tell Veronica.
Fuck off. Fuck off. I would go nuts. Like, you, Ainsley's door in Arvin, and my wasted heart will love you. I would take those billboards and smack them over your head.
What do you mean? The dogs just fucking chew me bits before I get a chance.
Like, all three dogs just descend on you.
Just fucking jump me.
But, like, I kind of get... I get it's supposed to be that, like, forbidden love, unrequited love, that kind of thing. Like, because it can't happen. Like, even if they wanted it to, she's married to his best friend, she's in love with his best friend, he's going to need to fucking move on or get some space or whatever. And I understand what it is they were trying to do. It just, I'm the same as you. Like, apart from that one bit with, like, the cards, it doesn't work for me either. It's just weird, man.
Yeah, so, it's like the whole hidden emotions thing, like hiding your love for her, but you're just coming across as being a dick.
It's that like primary school thing, isn't it? Of like, oh, the boy's mean to you, so that means he fancies you.
Yeah,
like,
treat
no,
him
he's
mean, keep him keen.
No, fuck off.
Like, yeah, get up,
yeah. That doesn't treat any, that doesn't keep anyone keen. You're just like, nah, piss off then. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to be a dick, I can't be bothered.
Keira Knightley's not great in this either.
Yeah,
I understand why, but it's,
she was 18 and it was our first one and all that.
Yeah, but
like,
she's not. It's not great.
Keira Knightley's managed to get away with a lot though because she looks like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, she is a beautiful woman, but she, I just wish she would close her mouth. Do you know what I mean? Like,
she does that British thing. Yeah. Look at Rosamund Pike in that. Like,
you leave Rosamund Pike
alone. She's phenomenal, but. Like, she's catching flies, eh?
Yeah, yeah, that tea thing. Yeah, but on Rosamund Pike, it's dead sexy. On Keira Knightley, I'm just like, stop.
It's bizarre to me because she doesn't act like... I assume she's, what, maybe late 20s, early
30s? I think they're supposed to be like mid-20s, but she was 18 when they were filming this
but
movie.
She doesn't... She still act like... Her acting, acting like that wee lassie, eh? Right. And it doesn't suit for the rest of the film.
No, definitely. Aye, 100%. And Andrew Lincoln's too cold, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't suit the whole vibe they were going for.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, like if they had different actors or like kind of changed the story a wee bit, it would have been better. Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Yeah, hands down, I agree with you.
Right, so go to this one. This one's my favourite. Bill Nighy and Gregor Fisher.
Yes. Hands down, yes. This is my favourite. So this is my favourite.
Billy Mack is an ageing over-the-hill rock star.
Yep.
And he's basically going for Christmas number one.
100%.
By re-recording Love Is All Around Me, but changing love to Christmas.
Yep.
And it's just about him realising this is all shit.
Yeah.
And, like, let's just do it. He's the comic relief in this movie.
Totally.
Like, but this movie isn't, it's not heavy and like, and a lot of it, but he, his wee bit sprinkled in is great.
Totally. But everything's really well balanced in this film. Yeah.
But this is about just like friendship. Yes. This is nothing to do with being in love with somebody.
Just platonic love. Yeah. Totally.
But his character in it is just, Bill Nighy's just phenomenal
so
in this.
So fucking funny. And wee Gregor Fisher just is like the wee... And it's see the bit when he goes to Gregor Fisher's and he's like, oh, I was at Elton's and it turns out the one that I love is you. You're the fucking love of my life, mate. And it's like, oh, it's so nice. But it is nice though, do you know what I mean? Because like, you do get like that with your pals, but do you know what I mean? Where it's like, I fucking do love you.
He's the only one that's probably been consistent in his life.
Yes.
Because the... As I say, aging rock stars, so there would have been a point, like any rock stars, that they're on top of the world.
Yep.
Then, like,
drugs, women.
Yeah, whatever they want.
Yep.
Then when their fame, like, declines, then it's not like, oh, that used to be, oh, that's Billy Mack. Oh, that used to be Billy Mack.
Yeah,
I'm still the same person. I'm just just not as famous.
Yeah.
But that is my favourite. It's just, it's so nice to hear
and
see.
It's just wholesome, isn't it? It's just pure wholesome. Like, he's kidding on, like, the whole way through the movie, he's sitting kidding on. He's like, oh, best shag of my life was Britney Spears, and don't do drugs, kids, become a rock star, and they give you them for free, and, like, hits out with all this mad shit. And then he just wants to, like, spend the night with his pal. Do you know what I mean? It's so nice. It's so nice. Theirs is hands down my favourite as well.
Yeah, theirs is the best one.
Yeah, totally.
Right, so this one.
Oh, oh no.
Colin and the American Girls.
Right, so we're down to the last, what, two? Right, last okay, two. So these two are like the smallest parts of the movie. And to be fair, these are the two bits that you probably could cut from the film.
Yeah.
But I would rather cut Colin's than cut Martin Freeman's.
Yes.
I think Colin's thing of just like, I kind of got a bird, so I'm going to go to America. Like, see where every other story is more like fleshed out. And I don't know if it's fleshed out because of the script or if it's fleshed out because of the actors being so fucking good, right? Yeah. But it just feels incredibly 2D. It's an American Pie movie.
That's exactly what I've put. Is it?
Oh, is it?
This is, he could be somebody in American Pie.
Exactly.
And it, the whole tone of it is just so out with this movie.
Yeah, totally.
I get it was probably meant to be like another, like, ha-ha funny, look at me.
Yeah.
But it's not, it does not work for me.
No, I totally agree with you.
I don't know
you.
Anybody that can, that sees that and be like, oh, great.
The
like,
only reason I like him is because he was nicking My Family. Yeah. Remember My Family? That was like, so
the,
funny.
The actor, Chris Marshall, the actor, he's good, but his, the character in this just doesn't, there's no need for him.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. No, it does not hit. Next movie.
John and Judy, Martin Freeman.
I love theirs.
Joanna Page.
And they're like, is it sex scene stand-ins or something?
They're body doubles.
Body doubles.
Aye.
And it's like they've been, they have these wholesome, lovely wee conversations while doing the most explicit sexual positions. And it's lovely. And I think this was before, this was Martin Freeman, obviously, before he got fucking huge. Like, obviously, he was, like, a BBC British staple, you know?
Yeah.
But this is before Marvel and The Hobbit and all that kind of stuff. So he's still allowed to be this kind of cutie pie bumbling thing. And she's just adorable, do you know what I mean? And they just, they are, and it's even, like, when he asks her out and he's all, like, buzzing about it, where she's, like, kidding on, he give him a blowjob and all that. She's like, that'd be lovely and all this. And then even when they do, they go for their wee kiss and he, like, leaps off the stairs. It's so fucking cute. Like, I love theirs. See, for all theirs is just a wee toty one.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So, so good. I love theirs. It's just, oh, love it.
It's kind of just like the weird awkwardness behind it all that I like. It's just, you get like that, like, and you first thing you somebody is that, like, you get that feeling, it's just, oh shit, what if I'm not going to ask them? I don't want to ask them.
I
agree with you.
Aww, yeah, no, I'm with you.
Was it for
this.
You? Who are you, kid?
Oh, fuck's sake, all right.
Don't even like you.
So, what one's your favourite and what one's your least favourite? I think we know who each other's least favourite is.
Billy Mack's my favourite.
Yeah.
And the American Girls one, Colin the American. It's just, there's no need for it.
Okay, well, since you've repped Billy Mack, I'm going to go Liam Neeson and Sam as my favourite. But shout out to Colin Firth for the, I hate Uncle Jamie.
That was class.
And I'm the same as you, like, getting Nick and the American Girls to fuck. What's your let's go moment?
I don't have one in this. Like, there's no point where I'm, I tell you what, just for the sake of that, I'll have when the wee kid just runs by the, in the airport.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
that, that's class to me. Like, I just like that they gave that kid the, they gave him his moment, because that, they could have easily done something with Liam Neeson.
Totally.
And I assume Liam Neeson, like, would have been like, give the wee man his time.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? So I'll give that. I'll do the last 15 minutes of the movie is my let's go.
Okay, excellent. I do love that, though, in this movie. Like, there is, like, the three big set pieces that is, like, quoted, not quoted and everything, but you know what I mean? There's the Hugh Grant dance, the airport run, and the Andrew Lincoln card. Mine's is the Hugh Grant Prime Minister dance. Like, I just think that's just funny. It's so funny. What's your favourite scene?
Mine's is at the very beginning. In the studio.
Yeah.
And he just turns around and says, this is shit.
Yeah.
He went, it's solid gold shit.
Solid gold shit, my man.
It's just, I can imagine everybody, like, every old, like, pop star and that who turned out a Christmas song.
Yep.
Like, That must be how they feel.
Yeah, that like
what am I doing?
Engelbert Humperdinck when he did Eurovision.
Aye, it's your last like ditch attempt at a bit of fame.
100%.
And it's embarrassing, but like as I say, he leans into it. Like you know, Billy Mack with a laptop just getting to be an asshole.
100%. My favourite one, I was kind of humming and hawing because my favourite one, I wanted to be like the Christmas show, like see when she turns round and points at him when she's singing and he gets all excited and all that. And then, oh, I just love everyone like with him and Liam Neeson. But I think I'm going to go with the Colin Firth and Aurelia. See when they leap into the
oh, he loses the papers.
And writing. She's like, I hope you made copies. And he's like, I should fucking make copies. And he's like, he's like, leave it. It's not exactly like Shakespeare. And she's like, this better be a fucking masterpiece. Yeah. And all this, like, it's so funny. Like, yeah. That one's my favourite scene. Right, I'll jump into useless information, right?
Go for it.
So, the airport greeting sequence at the beginning and the end of the film is all real. Richard Curtis sent a team of cameramen to Heathrow for a week to film the terminals, and when they found footage that they liked, they would then go and gain permission to use it.
Oh, that's cool.
Right, so this one's a bit of a weird one, right? Billy Bob Thornton has a fear of antiques, and before shooting scenes, Hugh Grant would bring out an old antique doll to freak him out. So that's why in some scenes, Billy Bob Thornton's like pure...
And he's scared of antique dolls?
Just antiques, it said. Very bizarre.
Wait, how can you be scared of antiques?
I don't know. It's one of those irrational fears, isn't it?
Yeah, but... So if he goes by like an old like antique doll, he's just...
Freaking the fuck out.
I think there's some weird phobias out there, yeah. But that's up there, man.
Who is it that we know that's scared of ostriches?
Michael.
Right, there you go. I just think that's such a bizarre fear because he's never going to be near one, do you know what I mean? But why then, you know?
I'm coming for you, Michael. go get an ostrich and chase you.
The idea of Mark's surprise All You Need Is Love band at the wedding came from Richard Curtis after attending Jim Henson's funeral, where everyone pulled out puppets and all sang a song. Laura Linney has advised later on in interviews that she wishes her character didn't answer the phone when she finally had Carl in the apartment. We all fucking do, Laura Linney. Yeah, we all do.
Should I turn that off?
Emma Thompson had to wear a fat suit to appear heavier in the film, as she is naturally quite a slight woman. This is also...
I don't think she looked fat in it.
Right, 100%. But we're going to get into that in a whole A, because I've got a whole fucking bit on Martin McCutcheon. Originally, Rowan Atkinson's character was supposed to be an angel who kind of drifted in and out of everyone's story. And because obviously he's at the end, helps the guy go through.
It makes sense, see, now you've said that.
He's
trying to stop the infidelity, yep. Because he's the clerk to thing it.
Yep.
God, I never heard of that. That's class.
Mad. Apparently there was like all these other scenes filmed where like he's interacting with all of the characters.
That's brilliant.
But the test audiences said it didn't fit with the tone of the movie, so they pied it. But I think that would have been really cool. Like,
yeah, like you wouldn't need to be explicit in doing it, but
in saying he's an angel, but yeah. Like I thought it was really cool. Apparently, like the last scene they filmed Rowan Atkinson was that after he gets his jacket and all that, he's supposed to like vanish or something.
I know, so you can remove stuff like that.
But I like the Rowan Atkinson in everybody's story being like, "Whoa!"
He could have been the videographer at the wedding.
Yep.
No, I would have liked that. That'd have been cool.
Bill Nye and Gregor Fisher's storyline is the only one that isn't directly connected to the other characters.
You never see them meeting. Aye.
They don't know anybody else. Like, it's just his music just video.
Them. Aye. Oh, aye. Oh, fuck. Didn't think of that.
Hugh Grant hated the dancing scene so much, it had to be filmed at 3 o'clock in the morning after drinking heavily. Nice. And you can kind of tell because his face is pure bright red.
Oh, aye. He's fucked.
Yep. For her 1 minute cameo, Claudia Schiffer was paid $200,000.
Fuck off.
I know. Literally a minute of screen time. A minute of screen time.
Did they not got a lookalike?
I know. Right, here's your favourite bit. I've got who was almost in it, right?
What do you mean? Who was they in it?
I will. Sir Anthony Hopkins, Michael Gambon and Michael Crawford were all up for the Prime Minister role. And obviously Hugh Grant won it out.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, leave it at like, Hugh Grant.
You couldn't have Martin McCutcheon then?
Yeah. Do you know that I've only got three of like who was almost in it because basically everyone is in it. Joe Alwyn, prick, was down to the final callback for the role of Sam, which was obviously won out by Thomas Brody Sangster. It would take him another 13 years to gain a movie role. And who helped you get those roles? Who helped you get those roles, Joe?
Is anyone Harry Potter?
Shut the fuck. Oh, aye, but for 5 fucking minutes. Aye, he's in the 4th Harry Potter, stands in front of Malfoy, sitting pure like, shut up, you tart. Anyway, last one. Originally, Richard Curtis wanted a real aging rock star for the part of Billy Mack. David Bowie, Mick Jagger, Sting, and Peter Gabriel were all approached, but all asked for expensive musical contributions to the movie. So production changed their mind and was like, no, I'm good.
Bill Nye plays it well.
Yeah, I'm happy with Bill
Nye. I have no issues with that at all.
Right, let's dive in. I've got quite a bit.
I've only got 2.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to cut down some of them. So I'll go first then.
Okay.
Seeing the airport scene where he jumps over the gate to get to the little girl, why are they showing Bill Nye's naked? Because he promises to do it naked if he gets to number one.
Mm-hmm.
Why is an airport showing that?
Telly, isn't it? It's on the telly.
Yeah, but loads of kids are running about and there's a naked guy playing on the telly.
I also think that scene has some issues because this film came out in 2003.
Yeah, after it mentions in it after 9/11,
right? No fucking way in 2003 would it be that easy
on Christmas Eve
to run through a fucking airport.
Nah.
You're trying to tell me that Carry On Netflix had queues out the door on Christmas Eve, but this wee cunt can fly through? Yeah. Nay, danger.
So my other one is, see at the wedding when the brass band and that pops out? How did they get them at the wedding without him noticing?
Aye, pure slime.
Because they're carrying like big fucking like trombones and all that.
Aye. Shut up, right? Maybe they were just sitting quiet, right? Shut up.
they're sitting quiet, but like it'd be right up to their fucking shoulder.
Pure. Could you imagine if you like moved and it was just like...
Knowing from experience, obviously we didn't have a church wedding or
no.
big place, but the guy spends a lot of time standing up there waiting. So you look about and I'm like, oh, that cunt's got a trumpet. What have you done to me?
I can't even say that.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you spend a lot of time like just hovering about waiting for the event, the thing to happen.
Yeah.
You'd have clocked it.
I mind the celebrant said to you, or was it, no, somebody said to you, she's not coming or she's going to be late or something. And they were talking about the celebrant, but you thought they were talking about me. And you thought I wasn't showing up to our own wedding. I was like, no.
Aye.
I've got another thing about that wedding. So it's a church wedding, right? It's a glorious occasion, right? Why are some of these people wearing the most Sunday afternoon outfits I've
weird,
ever heard in my life?
Pretty weird.
Laura Linney's sitting there with a stupid fucking hat and a duffel coat on. There's a prick in double denim. There's another guy in a neon orange vest top. And I'm like, I understand it was the early 2000s. Fashion was a weird place, you know?
No excuse.
At a wedding, at a church wedding, where everyone else is in suits and you thought you could show up in an orange vest top. Piss off, man. I've also got, quick one, has London ever been as quiet as this movie's made it out?
Yes.
Especially London and Christmas.
It has. 28 days later.
Fuck off, Ross. Fuck off. You know what I mean?
I'll go fuck myself then.
Also, this isn't really an A, this is more of a point, but if Google Translate was invented in 2003, Jamie and Aurelia could have gotten together so much faster.
Yeah, oh fuck I.
Now, I want 5 minutes of an A about Martin McCutcheon and also Emma Thompson, right? So these women are supposed to be fat, right? They're, say, between a size 10 and 14, right? I would not say these women are fat.
Like, they're supposed to be fat. They're not fat.
Yeah, they're not fat at all. There's no way in hell they're fat. Yeah. But like, and they keep commenting on it, on Martin McCutcheon's thing. They're like, oh, she's chubby, huge thighs and all this. And it's kind of like the same when they did Bridget Jones and they were trying to tell us that Renee Zellweger was fat. Do you know what I mean? And I understand this is a very like early 2000s thing where like if you were above a size 10, you were huge, right?
Weird.
It was the early 2000s, Ross. It was a crazy time. Like Britney Spears was always on the magazines. Like, of being like, she's gained horrific weight, and then you look back and you're like, she was not that big. Do you know what I mean? This is why our generation of women are all fucked, because, like, we all just got told we were fat from a pure young age. But, like, genuinely, like, I think that's obviously what's aged the worst, especially because we're looking at it from 2024.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be like, she's a right porker, get a right porker. And I can say that. I'm a fat woman, do you know what I mean? Like, get an actual fat bird and not Marty McCutcheon, who looks healthy and great, you know?
Yeah, like, she does. She looks stunning in this. Like,
hands down.
She's a good-looking woman. Like, she is a good-looking woman, I assume.
Aye, she probably still looks like her.
That. There's quite an arse on, is it? Oh, aye, guys hate that.
The woman with the mad
gaunt, like, sunken cheeks. Aye. Looks like, aye, aye, she's
that
horrific.
Was the thing, though, in the early 2000s. They were really pushing the, like, tiny, skinny, size zero, men only want you if you've got, like, a thigh gap and ribs and all this. Bullshit. And it's like, I've never, since growing up, I have never spoken to a man who has complained about the size of a woman's arse. Do you know what bullshit. I mean? Now, the big one, do you think that Alan Rickman got physical as he was cheating, or did it remain necklaces and that kind of thing?
I don't think he did.
I don't think so either.
I think he's stupid.
Yes.
And he's entertaining her.
Yes.
But I think if it would come to the point where it's been physical, in this I get the impression he does love Emma Thompson in it. But he's, and so he's trying to be like the cool manager, like he's an older guy, but he's trying to be like, oh, so nonchalant about this and that. So he's like, oh, you want a necklace? I'll buy, not a necklace, but you want something expensive? I can buy you it. But I don't think it's physical. I mean, the woman loves herself. It's just an unmade bed. And that's my view of it. No, I don't think it is a, like, oh, he was there.
I totally agree. And I think as well, see, when you look at, Alan Rickman's character, right? Now, I don't know if the hair dye job is a character or Alan Rickman, right? But Alan Rickman is like, his character is trying to wear like trendier clothes.
He's trying to be younger.
He's trying to have the trendier haircut. He's trying to have like the cool glasses and the cool stuff. And I think it's been extreme flattery. Like he'll have taken, like, now I still don't think he's in the right, but extreme flattery that he's like, oh my God, this younger woman, this beautiful younger woman is interested in me. And she's obviously like being like, oh, like she's obviously after him, do you know what I mean? And she's taking what she can get. I personally don't think it's gotten physical because of his reaction that he says to when Emma Thompson pulls him up and he goes, I'm a fool. And I'm like, I don't think you would say something like that if you'd slept with her.
I think he's a fool for like, letting this go on that long.
Exactly. Yeah. I think if you'd slept with her, it'd be like, oh, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, I've ruined this, blah, blah, blah. I think the fact that he says, I'm a fool and I'm sorry, blah, 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 I think that also shows that it's not physical. It's just that he's taken, like, he's taken this very complimentary and he's running with it and he's like, la, la, la. And he thinks he's not doing anything wrong because he's not getting physical.
Yeah.
But he's still
emotional cheating, isn't
it? Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I
don't know. It's not emotional cheating, but it's wrong what he's doing anyway.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, I used to think like cheating was only like physical stuff, you know. But when you watch this film, you're like, nah, man,
it's wrong.
It's not 100% cheating, but it's on the precipice, you know? Like,
it's as close as you're ever going to get to.
Yeah, like
it.
The toe is edging over the line, you know.
Yeah, of
so.
Course.
I'm with you. I don't think he got physical with her, but he knows he's silly fucked up.
Yeah.
And do you think they stay together? Yeah.
But I don't think, I mean, she's, Emma Thompson's kind of seems the type that obviously very family, kids and that, but I say aye, but I don't know how your relationship can get over that.
I think it's one of those things, like, obviously, like, they're trying to, like, grieve and heal this relationship while having a fucking busy schedule, if you know what I mean. Like, I can fully imagine this is, like, when the kids are there, it's like, oh, mum and dad, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as they shut that bedroom door,
it's cold.
Yeah, he's at one side, she's at the other, and they don't speak.
Yeah.
Like, because I think as well, like, it's not like you have time to be like, let's discuss our fucking issues, because yous have got two busy kids, like, yous are both working full-time, da-da-da. Like, I don't think they would have the time to sit down and be like, how do we fix this? I think it's very much that English thing of like keep calm and carry on, stiff upper lip, boys, you know. So I think they do stay together, but I think it's friendly for the kids, but cold when they're in private, you know.
Yeah, like it's a weird one.
Yeah,
that is a weird situation.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those situations you wouldn't know how you would deal with it unless you were in it, you know. But
it's either going to be that, or she's been like, right, this can't happen.
Yes. Again,
like, if that happens,
get her sacked.
Yeah,
she
needs to go. Like you, and don't be so fucking stupid and let it get your head next time.
Yeah,
like thinking you're hot shit. You're a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
What does that take to work with him?
Yeah.
It can he be? Because I mean, she's a good-looking woman, and she could have young, good-looking. It's got to be money, because it looks like they've made a few quid. If he's the owner or whatever it is, I don't even know what the fuck they could be hitting.
Some birds just like the thrill of the chase, though. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that, like, oh, I'm going to go after the married man. I personally don't understand it, but it is a thing that is known to be done. Do you know what I mean? Which leads us on to our next category. Worst guy whose hairline's receding.
Alan Rickman.
Aye, I've got Alan Rickman,
like,
as well.
Do we need to say anything else on him? Like,
nah,
I've said it.
100% Alan Rickman. Who's in a different movie? I think we both answered that.
Colin. American Pie.
Yeah, hands down. Are you I'm out at all?
Colin's parts, but he's not in it that long, so there's no point.
Yeah. Right, guys, so that is the end of our final episode of 2024. We just wanted to say a massive thank you to everyone who's listened, interacted with us on Instagram, our special guests who have appeared this season. Obviously, like, just thank you so much for, like, coming and being a part of our wee tribe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's been a fun year, dude.
Hasn't it? Like, we'll be back next year. We've got new ideas up our sleeve. We're going to have more special guests. And obviously, we hope that you guys will tune back in after your festive period. We honestly are just, like, super cheesed that, like, yous have all came and supported us. Like, this has been something we've wanted to do for ages, and we were, like, pure shitebag about it. And then we've finally done it, and we're like, guys, do you know what I mean? So honestly, thank you so fucking much, like, for the both of us. Like, we really enjoy doing this. We really hope that comes across, and obviously we hope that you guys enjoy it. Our Instagram DMs are always open for any film recommendations that you want for next season. We will be back on the 8th of January. We hope you all have an excellent Christmas, survive all of your work night outs, and we hope you enjoy those beautiful 3 days where time stops
nothing
existence,
yeah,
you know? So we will see you in 2025. Bye!
Bye! Feliz Navidad!
Feliz Navidad!